This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy!
It is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists in industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Dynasty Podcast, live from Dynasty HQ. Haima Black. I am here with Suga, a.k.a. Kawaii. Suga, I think a lot of people know you under that title. How are you doing tonight? Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I love podcasts, so this is always fun.
Yeah.
I'm doing great. Had very productive days. It's chilling, so now I'm here.
Thank you for coming through. So you are someone who I have been seeing your work for a while now. I've seen it on Twitter and Instagram and, like, I mean, your work, I think, is very visually striking, and anybody who wants to go look at it, it's at kawaii.suga on Twitter, right? And on Instagram, right?
So find me anywhere under that.
Yeah, so people should go look at your work while we're doing this interview and listen to this. But I was seeing your work, and it's really, really striking, so I'm really glad we got you up here tonight, because I just think your work's really cool, honestly.
Thank you. That means a lot. Like,
yeah. Now, we always start at the beginning on these interviews with, like, you know, how did you get your start as a creative? Where did that begin for you? How did you begin as an artist? Like, bring us into the beginning of this.
So, I mean, I guess it's pretty cliche. I've been drawing since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped for a while when I was, like, a teenager. I wasn't really drawing. I was just doing ratchet teenage stuff.
Sure. That's what all teenagers are doing.
Yeah, and then when I would find myself bored, I'd get, like, a sketchbook at Walgreens or whatever, and I'd just draw or, like, any cartoons I liked. Then after seeing, like, several artists that were pretty cool from Europe and Japan, I really liked their style, and I'm like, I want to do cool shit like that. Like, that's not something I see here in the U.S. It's really original. Like, I don't know. It just grabs you by surprise. So I want to do something cool, too. And I started drawing in my own style, and at first, it was funny because it was a bunch of nudes, and I didn't see anything sexual with it, but my boyfriend's friends would usually clown me and be like, oh, you're gay. I'm like, okay, like, like, is this image bothering you? It's just a drawing. But, I mean, I always saw nudes as normal in art, and I honestly, I'm too lazy to draw clothes. Like, I love fashion illustration, so beautiful, but not for me, like. So, yeah, I stuck with that, and over time, I kept trying, like, well, I'm still trying to perfect my craft, so.
Yeah, and I guess let's kind of move it to in recent years. When did you feel like you started to first kind of, like, find your audience? Because it feels to me, and I don't know you, but, like, to me, on the outside looking in, it feels like on Twitter and especially Instagram, you've really started to, or not even started, you have found your audience, I feel like. So when did that start to happen where, like, people are really noticing your work and people are recognizing it for how cool it is?
They found me. Probably 2-3 years ago, like, people started to notice my work, especially the whole bondage thing. And I got a lot of cool conversations out of that. Like, a lot of people that have said my work has made them feel empowered or more secure. Or, you know, it's just fucking cool hearing, like, all the cool connections. Of course, I have people that are disturbed by it. I don't know how. But, but I mean, that's what it's meant to do, you know.
Have you received pushback from the fact that a lot of your work, it is kind of very, you know, female form driven? It's, it is a lot of nudity, but it's just, it feels very artistic and very stylistic. But, like, have there been places where you've tried to publish your art or work with where they're uncomfortable with the subject matter?
No, I'm actually way too shy to reach out to people. Like, in my head, I'm like, man, I want to paint the wall or I want to do this, but I'm like, I'm too shy to approach people. So I've been very blessed with the people that have been, like, reaching out to me, like you. And, you know, it's everyone that messages me and tell me, like, hey, I want you to be part of this show. Or, and I kind of see that as a little setback for myself. Like, I'm trying to be more confident in myself. Like, I'm like, if I'm confident, I could take my stuff further, but I just have to break out of my shell. Like,
well,
I'm
hard.
Someone that keeps to myself and my friends a lot. It's hard for me to converse with just anyone, especially, like, trying to show my work. Like, I guess I feel like I'm not bragging, but I'm not the type to be like, look at my work, like be self-promotive, you know?
Well, and that was actually one of the things I was going to ask you about is, to me, again, without knowing you, but looking at your social, it really feels to me like your work is really front and center more than you are. It seems like you're more comfortable letting the work kind of speak for itself and letting yourself be kind of like the creator in the background, but not the main story.
Yeah, because with art, like someone like me, you could be as loud as you want with your drawings or as obnoxious or as promiscuous, you know, like stuff you can't do in real life.
Yeah.
So it's cool to put like my thoughts or things I think of on my drawings, you know.
Well, and also like it almost feels like there's a little bit of anonymity behind it where it's like you're not going to go to the grocery store and have someone be like, oh, my God, it's Kawaii Sugar. Like,
I've gotten that sometimes.
I'm not to say that people don't know who you are, but like your image is not front and center of it like the artwork is.
Yeah, I want my art to be like the main focus, not me, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I have, if I wanted to account with just my face, I would have that.
Right.
Which was, that's what it was before. I used to like take selfies all the time, like in my early 20s. And my friends would be like, you post a selfie every week. I'm like, so? Like, there's people that post that every day.
Sure.
But slowly I started I always posted my drawings occasionally, but not all the time. And I started slowly, like, with this style I developed, I started posting. And then slowly, like, everything else was just getting deleted. And I made my art page.
You have 12,000 followers on Instagram, which is no small feat. That's a good number. Like, did that boom happen overnight, or was it really like one by one by one, a slow build?
No, it's slowly. I mean, I gain followers, but I also lose a lot of followers if I'm not like as active. Lately I haven't been as active as I'd like because I do have like commissions I'm working on and stuff, but and it's Christmas, so I can't post them. So,
and you do commissions?
Yeah, I do commissions. Usually it's like people that want me to draw their girlfriends and gift it to them because they like my art, which is cool because sometimes they ask me and I'm kind of nervous. I'm like, okay, I don't know if you know my art or like
your like, girlfriend. They're like, no,
my girlfriend loves your work. I'm like, okay, that's cool then. Like,
yeah, no, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, but it's always like, you know, I don't know if you want your girlfriend drawn like this or if she'll feel comfortable like a snake coming out of her vagina, you know, stuff like that.
But, yeah, but you know what? Like, that's the beauty of the internet. There's a taste for everything. Yeah. And your work is, like I said, really good. Now, one of the things that I noticed in again, just being a fan of the work you're posting online, a recurring theme is like, and I'm looking at your Instagram right now, you do a lot of this work on these postal service kind of priority mail envelopes. And it to me, it really works. But like, where did that stylistic choice come from? Or was it just something like one day that was what's sitting on the table?
No, it's not like more of a stylistic thing. I've been drawing on priority mail since I was a teenager because it's my neighborhood, there was like a lot of graffiti artists, and that's something I noticed. And I'm like, that looks cool, you know? Mm-hmm. And I can't do letters for shit, so I'm like, maybe I could draw. And I think I have some of my older works. Like, I used to do like Adventure Time characters, stuff like that, and priority mail. And I just thought putting my art on it would be cool. And a lot of people that weren't familiar with it would ask me, like, why are you drawing on those? And I'm like, because it's, I don't know, like, it's something I see. Like, I used to trade stickers with people back then, and we'd swap priority mail stuff.
And, it looks, again, I think really visually interesting to have these very kind of, like, I'm, like, doing a bad job of explaining this. But basically,
cool.
It's work that it's not, you would see in a public space because of the subject matter, because of the nudity, mm-hmm. because of the bondage, and then it's on this kind of just, like, very public piece of not content, but mail,
but yeah.
I guess. Yeah, yeah, an item.
I do some that are a little more inappropriate than I used to, and I would just put them up in the street.
Really?
Personally, because it was funny for me, you know? Like, I've always been kind of a prankster since I was a kid. Like, I was that asshole kid that, like, locked all the bathrooms in school and put thumbtacks in people's chairs.
Totally.
But I always loved jokes and stuff like that, and people like to dive deeper. They think it's something super deep. Sometimes it is, but most of the time it's just humorous for me. So
yeah, it just seemed like your subversive kind of punk spirit has survived.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Now, something I was interested in also, not just the creative side of this, but I'd love to, if you're down, talk a little bit about kind of like the business and branding and e-commerce kind of side of thing. Because one of the things we do on this podcast is a lot is try to break down how an artist has built not only their creative voice, but also it's hard to be an entrepreneur and it's hard to be a business as a creative. So, like, is that something you're cool talking about?
Yeah, I'm cool talking about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's start with the e-commerce. You know, you have your own site, you have a big cartel. How did you start getting involved with e-commerce, and was that something that came naturally for you, or was it a learning curve? Or
I guess it was a learning curve. Like, there's a lot of mistakes that I learned from. Squarespace, that was actually a website a friend of mine helped pick out, because she builds websites and she's a graphic designer. So I'm like, you know, at the time, Instagram was taking down a lot of my art. Like, people were reporting it.
Really?
Yeah, so a lot of it was taken down. So I'm like, you know, I need a website, like, somewhere that I could call MySpace and, like, just put up whatever I want and no one could take it down. So she recommended Squarespace, and I really love it because it shows you, like, who's looking at your site and, like, all the countries, all the traffic. Like, it's super cool, and how many times they've seen it and how long they spent on it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good to know, see, like, what people or where people are looking at your stuff from. Big cartel. I've seen, like, artists that I like use, like, those small internet shops for, like, little sales they're doing throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, it's free, so I'm not paying for big cartel. That helps me.
Yeah.
And I started making small stuff, like stickers. I'm making postcards right now, so
I think it makes a ton of sense. I think that's cool.
Yeah, and it's like you just have to calculate, like, how much each sticker will be, for example. So, like, let's say you want to do a pack of 4 stickers, and each sticker will be $4, so it's a $16 pack.
Mm-hmm.
That way, like, you make money, and it's not something that's crazy expensive. Like, say someone can't afford an original, they could get stickers.
Yeah, no, it's good to have everything at that, you know, at varying tiers and price points, because small sales can add up if they're in bulk.
Yeah.
What are some things you wish you knew about kind of like setting up your online business going in that you know now?
At first, shipping, because for some reason I was shipping a lot out of the United States. So I didn't know how much people charge. Sometimes I charge them like regular price, like $7. It turns out, like, Australia, a piece of paper is like $14 to ship. So I learned that.
So you're, like, losing money on your sales.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So shipping is a big thing, too. Like, you always have to charge people, like, the correct shipping and the materials for shipping. Because if you buy, like, a box that's, like, $5, for example, it'll come out of your pocket if you don't charge them. So, I mean, and they want it, so of course they got to pay for it to be sent.
Right, yeah.
And people that support you won't mind, you know.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a thing that I feel like a lot of artists, as they're building their business, they grapple with price. And they're like, oh, man, is this going to be priced too high? But, like, good art is worth paying for,
yeah,
you know?
And I used to be very self-conscious about that. Like, people have told me, like, you should sell your originals for more. But I come from a place where I never went to a gallery until I was 22. People, like, around me weren't buying art. So I was selling drawings for, like, $10. And when someone's like, oh, I'll pay $70 for, like, this, I'm like, what? Like,
right.
Are
you're like,
serious?
Wait, hold on, wait. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just a girl living, like, here. I'm McKinley Park. Like, why would you pay that much for my drawings? But people started investing in my art, and it also pushed me to do better and, like, do better work. So,
well, yeah, when you feel like you're being paid a rate that makes your time and talent worthwhile, you're like, okay, cool. Like, I think it inspires you and it motivates, at least for me,
yeah.
It's more motivating when you're getting paid what you're worth. And you're like, cool, great, I'm on board with this. But I think a lot of creatives out there, as they're building their business, have priced themselves too low, and then it really becomes hard to, like, you know, muster up the motivation and things like that.
And then you don't want to keep going lower. Like, you got to keep going higher. Like, mm-hmm. even if it's, like, $10 every 6 months or whatever. Like,
right.
People will see there will be an increase. And especially your collectors, like, you have to be nice to the people that are supporting you. Like, you can't be an asshole. You got to keep them updated. Like, here, this is why it's taking long. Or you got to keep in contact with them and build a friendship, because they end up buying more from you like that. And it interests other, like, new buyers. Like, same with packaging. You got to Me, I like doing nice packaging. Like, I wrap it in gift wrap, and, like, I add a bow, and I add a thank you note. Like, it's small details like that.
But that makes a difference. It makes it very personalized, and I think people really respond to that.
Yeah, yeah. People like having, like, that relationship, you know? So that actually helps a lot for me. Like, what's helped me with my art and selling and keeping clients and stuff. Like.
Yeah, no, I love that. Now, as people have found your work and as you've built your client base and people have responded, like, what kind of response do you get? Like, what are people telling you when they find your work or when they buy one of your pieces?
A lot of them, like it. They say it makes them feel confident in themselves. That makes them feel strong, or they like looking at it when they're getting ready. So that's really cool to hear. Other people are satisfied. They're like, oh, this was a gift for my mom. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, I picture my mom, like, I wouldn't give my mom that.
Yeah, like, I love your work. I don't know if I would buy your work for my mom, but I love your work.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I've had people buy for their moms. I've had, like, all kinds of people buy my stuff. So it's really cool for me to hear, like, where everyone's coming from. And, you know, they ask me questions, and we have a conversation, so.
Yeah, and it seems to me like you are accessible to your audience. I feel like, you know, like when I reached out to you, here's the thing, I've done this podcast a long time, and I still feel like every time I reach out to someone new, I'm just like, they've never heard of me, they've never heard of this podcast, they're not going to reply, or they're going to say no. And anytime anyone says yes, I'm always like, oh my god, like, still 13 years in. Like, I saw your work, and I kind of had a little sense of like, this person's too cool to come on the podcast.
No.
So like, I was really stoked when you said yes.
I think a lot of people think I'm stuck up for some reason. It doesn't help that I had like a resting bitch face in real life. Like in high school, a good friend of mine, like we became really good friends, but at first she's like, I didn't even want to talk to you because you look like a bitch. Like you just look mad all the time. So
I did not think you were stuck up. I more thought like, this person's, some people's work is so cool that like sometimes they don't get a response. I'm like, fair enough, I get it. Like we're a small podcast, but anytime anyone says yes, I'm like stoked.
I'm like that too. Like, there's artist friends I have now, but at first I'm like, their work is way too cool.
So, right, yeah.
Yeah, but we become good friends and stuff. Like, you know, it's just having confidence in that. And I learned from one of my girls named Jackie. Like, she does her own little galleries. They're called For the Creatives.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've had Jackie on the podcast.
Yeah, she's dope. I love Jackie. And she helped me with a mural with my girl, Lena. And we had, like, we need an extension cord somewhere. And she was asking people across the street. I'm like, are you sure they're going to say yes? She's like, just ask. Like, if you want something, you just got to ask. And, that stuck to me.
It's a great entrepreneur. I mean, that was honestly going to be my next question of like, what are some of the challenges that come with being a entrepreneurial artist where your art has to also be your business? And I think that is one of the big challenges, just to kind of throw this answer in front of your answer, is like just knowing how to ask for things. But what else is a challenge when your creative craft is also your business?
Drawing personal things, like personal art for yourself, because sometimes you get like a rush of commissions. It's like, fuck, I want to draw this, but I don't have time. So you got to learn how to balance that out, too. Because I don't know, for me, if I can't draw what I want, I start getting, like, cranky. Like,
if you haven't eaten, you're, like, hangry.
Yeah, how I feel. So you just have to find the right balance. Like, it's different for everyone. It takes time to adjust and learn. So
yeah, no, I agree. Like, that is a big, you know, we were talking with the previous guest, Kevin, just about, I don't remember if the mics were on or off. I think the mics were off. But we were just talking about the difficulty of like balancing the, you know, making the creative part happen and then building all the business with different platforms and then promoting it. And it's like, it's so hard to do all three of those things, let alone consistently and still also be able to make the creative thing happen.
Yeah.
It's a juggling act.
It is, but you learn. I mean, there's days where you have to be checking emails and responding to them, because if you don't respond, then there goes your chance or whatever.
Yeah, you lose a sale and you lose a potential repeat customer.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're going to make like, if you're going to drop stuff like shirts, you got to be like consistent. If not, like you got to let them know, I'm going to drop them this day.
Yeah.
Or, you know, put it on your story where like, if I see a lot of people look at my story, so if I'm going to like sell something, I post it there instead of like my actual feed, because, you know, like, Instagram's fucking up the algorithms right now, so.
Yeah, no, they are. And I hear that from a lot of people that, like, their story has almost supplanted Instagram itself as the main engagement platform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, we are on the verge of kind of 2019 coming up. Like, what's on deck for you? What are you excited about? Bring us into what's ahead for Kawaii Suga as an artist.
I'm excited for 2019. I actually want to travel. And, I mean, I kind of want to check out other galleries and ask, like, you know, like, show my work. And if I could have stuff there or a show. Like, I've never asked the gallery if I could show work. So that's a little intimidating. But, I mean, when you're scared of something and you overcome it, like, it just feels so good after.
It does. And your work absolutely should be in a gallery. It's, like I said, like, it's so cool. Like, the whole reason I reached out to you is because I have seen your work for a long time. And I've just always been like, holy shit, this person's doing cool stuff. I didn't know you. I've never met you prior to this interview. But it's like, you know, I always saw your work and I always thought, like, holy shit, this person is doing really cool things. So your work absolutely belongs in a gallery. No doubt.
I want in other gallery states because I'm like, I'm cool with Chicago people. But I'm like,
right.
You know, from my website, shout out to Squarespace, I see I get a lot of traffic from New York, Texas, California. And it's like there, I don't know anyone. So it'll be a challenge, you know. I have friends there, but I don't know any galleries. I don't know shit about those places.
Well, that's the next adventure.
Yeah. I'm curating 2 postal sticker shows.
Oh, cool.
So 1 in Pilsen Outpost, 1 at YCA. So mm-hmm. That's going to be challenge too. I like curating. I like showing other people's work. Like, it's fun. I want to have a show with my friend Vivian Lee. She's dope. And I'm working on a book, AMPM, with my girl Lisa. She's a poet. It's kind of like an angry girl erotic kind of book.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming out too.
And so people can find all this as they happen, like on your Instagram and on your Twitter and website.
Or on my website, yeah. I mean, Facebook, I don't really use my Facebook page, but I probably should.
But I feel like Facebook might take your artwork down. And maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I don't use it that much. Same with Tumblr. Like, I used to get a lot of traffic off Tumblr too. But now with the new censorship rule, like...
Well, and that's, I think, another fair question. It's like, as the internet is becoming more censored and as things are strangely becoming more puritanical in, like, 2019 almost, which is bizarre, it's like, how does an artist like yourself survive when platforms that you rely on suddenly are not available to you in the same way?
Well, that's when I have to break out of my egg and be social with people and learn how to talk to people, you know?
Like, sure, yeah.
Back then, people didn't have internet and social media and...
Yeah.
They got opportunities, like, so fuck it.
Well, you know, I teach at Columbia College, and I tell my students, I'm like, you know, I remember I would flyer for, like, the Metro in high school.
Yeah.
And that was how I got to know everybody. That was the social media, is I would go to a ton of shows, and I'd literally just physically hand out flyers, and I'd start to see the same people out and about. And it's like, that was the social media at the time. That was how you promoted things. And people forget face-to-face is so valuable.
Exactly. So it's like, I want to do more of that. And we'll see, like, there's a lot of things I want to do. And sometimes I freak out, like, I don't have enough time, but I'm only 25, so.
Yeah, you got time.
Then I chill, you know. I don't know, I'm just an angsty person where I want to do everything and I have to plan it out. Like, it has to be perfect, has to be precise, or else I don't want it, like.
I get that. I think that's a common thing among creative people. It's that sense of, like, I'm not doing enough and I have to do everything. And it's like, you can only get done what you can get done as you go.
Exactly.
So. Yeah. Final question. I really appreciate you coming up tonight and being here in this conversation. What advice would you give to anybody who is, you know, watching or listening and is a fan of your work and is thinking, like, I want to do that. I want to put my work out there. I want to, like, actually be bold enough to, you know, start putting myself out as an artist. What would you tell somebody who hasn't started out yet?
What worked for me is I told myself, just do it. Like, I used to find myself just browsing the internet or just watching TV. And I'm like, damn, I wasted 1 hour, 2 hours just watching TV instead of, like, practicing or doing something productive with my art. And I just got off my ass and I started doing things. Just do it.
It sounds so obvious, but it is really true. It's never been easier to just waste a day or an evening just scrolling on your phone or your laptop and then, like, that's time you could be out meeting people, you could be learning a new skill in person or taking an online course or doing a billion other things. But I think we forget that our scroll time does take away from our time of like developing other skills.
Hell yeah, it does. And I've told friends before that have asked me, I'm like, just do it. And I'm like, they look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, I'm not being an asshole. It's true. Like, nothing's stopping you. You're capable. If you want to like learn how to wheat paste, there's like forums or people teaching. If you want to learn how to screen print, it's online. It's on YouTube. Like, everything's on the
Everything's internet. Online
if you
now.
Want to learn. Yeah. Yeah, just learn and invest in yourself. Like, me, when I was younger, I used to be like, damn, artists get their prints and pillows and everything made for free. Like, that was my kid mind. Like, someone draw something and a company, here, we're going to give you these to sell. And
here's all of your money. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and now it's like, damn, you have to invest in yourself. And, you know, I laugh at that now, but that's how I used to think.
And the reason that I kind of do these kind of conversations is I think it's important to demystify the process a little bit, because it is like, I remember being 15 and not knowing how anything works. And even maybe you're 17 or 19 or 21. And I mean, you could be older and not know how certain things work. There's a lot of things I don't know how they happen. But like, I think there's a lot of value in being like, hey, like, here's exactly how this actually works. And here's how you can go do it. And like I said, I think your work is really great. And I'm glad that it's out as much as it is and that it's found an audience.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just trial and error too. Like, you know, what works for other people might not work for you. So
no, 100%.
You'll know once you find like your little coop, like you'll feel comfortable. You'll feel like, you know, this is what I love to do. And this is how I like to do it. So
plug the website, all the best places for people to find your work again.
My website, kawaiisugar.com, kawaiisuga.com.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram at kawaii.sugar. Twitter, I haven't been posting art there lately, but if you want to hear me rambling or like liking stupid memes, it's kawaii_sugar.
Yeah, and people can just Google kawaii sugar and they'll find
you. Yeah, and people could hit me up. Like, I'm very responsive to people. So if they want to talk to me or just hit me up.
And if they go to kawaiisugar.bigcartel.com, they can also purchase things and also from your website as well.
Yeah, I'm actually going to update that because I'm going to drop some stickers. I'm going to be vending stuff at the Bridgeport Art Center at the Base Cafe on the 21st. So
nice.
If anyone wants to stop by, I'll be there.
Yeah, I know I am definitely going to be buying some of your work, because this space that I'm in now, which I love, it's very bare. There's nothing on the walls, and I need... Aww. My friends are always like, get some art, dude. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it later. And like, I was looking around today, and I'm like, I really need some art on the walls. So I'll be making a purchase in the near future.
It's either you have the space but don't buy art, or you just have a bunch of art with no frames, which is my problem.
Oh, I have
right
so
now.
so many like high-end silkscreen posters with no frames, and they're just sitting there. And one day I'm going to put them up, and I'm like, oh, here was that cool Death Cab for Cutie show I went to in 2008, and I'm just putting it up in 2019. But yeah, better late than never. Kawaii Sugar, I'm so glad we got you up here tonight. I really appreciate you taking the time. And like I said, I'm a huge fan of your work, so thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. Like, super fun. I love podcasts. I was listening to, your Evie, the cool one. That one was
yeah.
Dope. Yeah. And I was listening to several others. So.
Oh, that's so cool. Like yeah. I said, I'm always like, oh, my God, you've heard that? But we've been lucky that so many great people have said yes to being on this podcast, and I'm always appreciative of anyone taking the time. So, you know, we will have you back on as new things are happening. I'd love to have you back on next year.
I'd love to be back on.
Cool. We'll make it happen, man. Kawaii Sugar, everybody can find you under that name online. Thank you.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcasts. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.